The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the views of the management and staff of Guardian Radio.
Enjoy yourself.
Celebrate.
Live your life.
Celebrate.
Beautiful Bahamas. 700 islands. My archipelago. Bahama islands, they are jewels. Beaches, ocean, coral reefs, where fishes swim in schools. Sunshiny weather, oh yes, it's better. Turquoise waters, blue skies, this is paradise. Lincoln's Bay, Bombay, and Junkanoo. Bohemian music, straight out of 242. Bohemian culture, we bring it.
Good yawning this morning and welcome back to Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, your station for fresh news, smart talk all day. It's Thursday, the 3rd of July, 2025, and you are on the clock with Erin Green. I've got another full show today. Join the Royal Beach Club, Paradise Island, and they're here to talk about career opportunities. I mean, with the franchise, I like it. Career opportunities with the franchise. It's a really great conversation, and if you have been following it, then you may have read this article that was posted late last month, Royal Caribbean to fill 150 PI posts by summer's end. I think I've just been informed that the number of opportunities have increased.
Yes, we have about 200. Good morning, Erin, and good morning to your listeners. I guess we could introduce ourselves first.
I was about to say,
now you know,
I know you're the mayor of Grand Bahama now, right?
Stop it. Please
the only
don't.
Thing you needed to do was come with mango. If you had brought mango from Grand Bahama to New Providence, you could have been the PM of Grand Bahama. I would not care.
I have to tell my mother to please, please send some mangoes specifically so that I can bring them here for Erin. I am C. Jillian Gray. I'm head of corporate communications for Royal Caribbean Bahamas, and I'm joined here with two of our recruitment team members, and I'll allow them to introduce themselves.
Good morning. My name is Jessica Ferguson. I'm the talent acquisition manager assigned to private destinations.
Good morning. I'm Adina Wilson. I'm a recruiter attached to private destinations. Thank you for having us.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Okay, so Royal Beach, Royal Caribbean Cruise Line product. They have a portion of Paradise Island. They are curating a new experience for cruise passengers. This experience is also open to Bahamians on particular days, particular protocols, but there is access to the beach club for Bahamians as guests, but also opportunities for Bahamians to participate. I don't want to say as employees, because employees have jobs, right? We're talking about people who have an opportunity to grow careers. So let's talk about what the career options look like, how many are available. What do I, as a young person, dear young people, I compete in today. In fact, today is National Wellness Day, right? Some of us old heads competing with y'all. Not in a bad way. In a good way, because iron sharpen iron.
Yes, it does.
So let's get into the opportunities that await us at the beach club.
So I'll tell you a little bit more about the beach club overall, and then I'll hand it over to Jessica, who will tell you about the specific positions. So Royal Beach Club Paradise Island, if people don't know, is a 17-acre ultimate beach day experience. It's made up of 13 acres owned by Royal Caribbean, which we bought from private entities, and then 4 acres of Crown land. And so this is for Bahamians by Bahamians. And a lot of exciting things are going to be happening over the next few months as we gear up for our December 2025 opening. And that's why we're having this aggressive push, right? So we need to hire 200 Bahamians, all Bahamians, for varying different positions by the end of summer so that we can have them trained for our opening in December 2025. And this is really a groundbreaking project. And I know that we're not here to talk about the project in particular, but I have to let Bahamians know. So later in this year, we are going to be having our IPO. That is where up to 49% of this beach club is going to be owned by Bahamians. You can purchase into it. And we're going to be back on your show to talk a little bit more about that. I know that that was just a teaser.
Listen, don't watch none. That's exciting. Dear young people, I want you to think about it, right? You could own a piece of the product as you grow your career in the space.
Yes. So you can both invest to grow your portfolio, investment portfolio, while you are, we call them team members, while you are a team member with us at the Royal Beach Club, which is going to be so exciting. And Jessica is going to talk to us about some of our wonderful opportunities that we have for young people, as well as those who may be wanting to have a shift in their career at this stage in their life. And so I'll hand it over to her.
So as mentioned earlier, we have roughly 200 roles and career opportunities that we're looking to fill by the end of the summer. So as persons may already know, we've started the process at the beginning of the year where we found the senior leaders for the beach club. So a lot of the director positions were already filled. So as we proceed into going into wave two.
Just one second. Uh-huh. You said senior. I just enter in my senior years. What do you mean by senior leader?
So we've had a lot of the director positions filled already at the beginning of the year.
And so that's not an indication of age,
right? No, definitely not. No.
Okay, so the number of young professionals filling these spaces?
Yes. Okay. So all of the director positions have been filled locally with Bahamians. So that's something that we're very proud of as well.
Good stuff.
So we've filled the director of human resources, the director of technical, the director of finance, as well as the general manager who would have came from another neighboring property through Coco Key.
Okay.
So he's been with the company for quite a bit of time, for roughly 20 years, and he would have transitioned into being the general manager for the beach club.
Okay.
So as we progress into wave two, which will be a lot of the senior managers, mid-level manager positions, focusing on now at this point. So we're going to have, in the next few weeks, the HR manager position, training manager, warehouse manager that we're hoping to close, as well as a lot of other positions that will be posted in the near future for the...
I was just going to say, I want to follow along at home. Website, is there a place where these jobs are listed?
Absolutely. So it is Royal Beach Club at, that's A-T, paradiseisland.com/career. I know it's a little bit long, but it's just the name of the project, Royal Beach Club at paradiseisland.com, and that's /career. Mm-hmm. And you'll be able to find all of the positions right there. You scroll down, you click, you'll find the positions.
Okay.
We have all of our positions also listed on LinkedIn. If you go to LinkedIn, most young professionals have a LinkedIn profile. You go to LinkedIn, you click on Royal Caribbean International and available. It has it there. It says NASA, and you'll be able to click there.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So HR manager, training manager.
We also will be looking for a technical manager in the near future.
Now, what do you mean technical? Manager of technology, like PA systems, coordinating all the technical systems?
So this will be maintenance and maintenance department, he will be reporting into the director of technical and maintenance and will be overseeing the operations for the beach club.
Okay.
So when looking for that role, ideally that person should have 5 years of experience, respective bachelor degree as well inside a technical space, as well as hospitality background would be preferred.
All right.
Yes.
Absolutely. Okay. Yes. So now I had come in prepared because I catch crab, right? I could be manager of crabs.
Like I could be that position just yet, but you know what? I think that we need to look into that.
See, because with 17 acres, I only need a quarter of an acre for my crab excursion. I'm telling you.
I absolutely understand that. But you know, these positions that we have, you know, we offer a lot here at Royal Caribbean, particularly when it comes to offering our team members careers. And I like to put that into perspective. So you can start out. So Troy, who she would have spoken about in Coco Key, in another role, and he made it all the way to general manager. He's been with us for, like she said, over 20 years, and he's seen the company grow. He's grown with the company. And so that's what we're looking for. We're looking for young people who want to grow with the company, who want to move to various different positions. We have even crew members who are Bahamians. So they work on the ships. They are either on the deck. They are sports advisors. They work in children's area. So we have different team members all across the company. And so yes, you can start at the Royal Beach Club, but I want to expand young people's minds to say, you know what, I can start here, but where can I go? Where do I want to now proceed, and how do I want to grow my career?
Right, and I think the sort of, quote, pun intended, landscape of the project gives a young person the opportunity to see other jobs in action, to see other departments working, whether it's just visual observation or my department interacts with your department all the time. Mm-hmm. And I actually kind of like what you're doing over there a bit more than what I'm doing over here.
Absolutely.
How do I make that step to your, or up or laterally? Okay, that's awesome. So this second round is primarily focused on managerial positions?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. Mm-hmm. And so how do I apply? How do I get my resume in there?
Okay. So, so thank you so much. Through attending one of our job fairs, we have reached across the length and breadth of our archipelago. We visited family islands such as Exuma, Long Island, Freeport, Andros, and we tend to go to even more. Looking for talented young Bahamians that are willing to not only join our team, but grow with our team. Mm-hmm. We've also informed you of our website and LinkedIn regularly to source talent.
Okay.
So we are interested in partnering with organizations, local civically organizations. We have done so in the future, such as the National Youth Guard most recently to source a plethora of their recent graduates of lifeguards.
So it's summertime. I used to participate in the Methodist Summer Youth Program. The Methodist Church could pull together youth from across their diocese. That's an Anglican word, but across their like missions. And they could host a job fair.
Most definitely.
The Methodist Church and the Anglican Church, like how St. Matthew's and Ebenezer right there next to each other, they could collaborate and provide a space for a potential job fair with Royal Caribbean. That's awesome. Yeah. I'm liking that very much. Okay, let's go through contact information. We have the email, we have the website, which is royalbeachclub@paradiseisland.com/career. Yeah. Can I make contact via telephone, ask questions, get a bit more details?
Well, there's an email address.
Okay.
Persons can send their resumes directly to PD, which stands for Private Destinations. So PDRecruitment@rccl.com. They can send their resumes directly to us, and then we can give them a call. And then we also have an office. It's a temporary office for the moment.
Okay.
That is downtown at the Point. So ground floor. If they stop by, then they can always walk in and speak to us.
I appreciate the family island engagement. It's difficult for young people to get to New Providence. Sometimes it's difficult to coordinate the tech to be able to participate in some of the job fairs. What are you looking for young people? Say maybe young people who are preparing for maybe the third round of engagement.
Mm-hmm.
I'm young, I'm just out of high school, but I got some skills.
Mm-hmm.
More importantly, I think it's the soft skills that young people really need to take advantage of this opportunity. What you're looking for from young people?
Well, maybe I can answer that question, because within the umbrella, well, under the umbrella of Private Destinations, we also have Coco Key that we spoke of earlier. That more so is a great opportunity for younger persons because we provide everything for them, right? So housing, food, medical insurance.
Hold on. Housing, food, and medical. Okay.
So for persons who are early in careers and want to start off to get the opportunity, it's a good way for them to save their money as well because we're providing everything for them, right? We operate similar to a cruise ship, but they would come in for 3 months on, 1 month off. So they would sign on and sign off. But when they go to the island, everything's provided for them. They have their uniform, even bedding, sheets. Everything is provided when they get to the island. The medical insurance is fully comprehensive as well. So vision, dental, all of that is included. They get the exposure with persons from different nationalities as well. So you get that exposure working within hospitality, within a global company. So there is global mobility if that's something they want to think of later.
And I think that's what excites parents, like parents and guardians, right? Like, because if you're from the family island, I always tell the story about how George and James Pratt built a boat because they needed to come to Nassau to find wives. At least they needed to leave Long Island to find wives. Wherever they found the wives, I'm sure they were going to be good, right?
Mm-hmm.
But there's this desire to experience more, to see more. And now your young people, they have an opportunity to go find themselves, mm-hmm. leave the island, but they're still in the country,
yeah.
right? They have an opportunity to experience global corporate work life, mm-hmm. right? And to interact with more than just Bahamians, but they're still in the Bahamas.
Exactly.
I think that excites parents, right? Because it's a safety thing. I want my child to be as close to me as possible, but they have an awesome degree of autonomy mm-hmm. and freedom, right? Mm-hmm. This is great. Okay,
and
madam?
We do have those success stories already happening because, okay. as you know, we have Perfect Day Coco Key that is in the Barrie Islands, and we have those success stories where we have young people from Civ Life who we would have sourced from our family islands, and they are mm-hmm. now living in Coco Key. And I tell young people all the time, you do not know how great it is to have these types of opportunities where you get to go away, yes, but you're still close to home. And mm-hmm. I'll have Jessica talk just a little bit about that, because we are sourcing primarily for the Beach Club, but we do also still source for Perfect Day Coco Key.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, right. Exactly. So Coco Key is more so a hit for persons from the family island, and I'll tell you why. Because they're not fully relocating to Nassau, right? So they get the experience and the exposure where they go to Coco Key for 3 months, they go back to their community, they spend their money within their community as well. So it really is a success story within itself of persons mm-hmm. that are very excited. When we went to Long Island, we came across a parent who one of her sons and his girlfriend also work on Coco Key. So in the moment of us networking, she came, stopped by, and she was more so an unofficial recruiter in the moment because she was speaking the praises of Coco Key and mm-hmm. her son allowing, you know, getting the opportunity to leave Long Island to come back and still spend his money and spend time with her as well. So it was great.
That's awesome. I thinking about jobs and experiences, right? Like, I sure y'all don't know, I am an interpreter. I speak a number of languages.
Okay.
I speak American traditional sign language. I speak AVE sign language. You remember the curly-tailed lizards?
Mm-hmm.
They're dying out. We're reviving them because I speak curly-tailed lizard now.
Got it.
And we're figuring out what the problem is, right? Pigeon. So speak mutton. Right? Mm-hmm. Anyway, the point is, I speak mutton. Y'all ain't ready for a mutton experience? You know, like in the States.
Give me a proposal. Let's see what
okay,
we can
be ready
do.
Right
Let's
now. In the States, when you go to the rodeo, right, the most exciting part of the rodeo is watching the little children try and ride a mutton. Try tame. You know, they get on the sheep, they try tame a sheep. Well, I'm an expert in that, right? And what I'm saying is, we could get all our Long Island residents mm-hmm. in this Long Island, this me and you, we making smiles. I can make the money. Y'all make the smiles. Right, but the point is, I speak mutton, I ride mutton, and if Customs and Immigration didn't confiscate my mutton from Sawyer Boy when he's coming back from Mutton Fest, I would have had an audition as well as a proposal for y'all. But the point I'm making is that traditionally in tourism here, we've sort of had this attitude that, look, you must be polite, demure, but mindful, demure and polite. I ain't none of them, so it's hard for me to remember. But that's been the traditional posture in tourism. You stand in your neatly pressed uniform, smile, awaiting the guest request, but you don't engage them, right? Like little children, speak when you're spoken to.
Mm-hmm.
But this cruise space, Beach Club, Coco Key, it calls for a different type of tourism worker, right? It calls for someone who is almost can't help themselves, right? Like they're excited by the opportunity to engage mm-hmm. guests. And so I really push this for young people who are into comedy, who are into improv, who are into spoken word poetry and performance. Like this is your space. It's shifting the way we do tourism. You literally become the product. It's the engagement that entertains the guests. And I hope that young people sort of see that. And I hope that older people understand that mm-hmm. and are able to shift, right? Like shape shift and create space for the expansion of our tourism product.
And we also have an artist discovery program, so you're mm-hmm. right on track. So like I started out saying, this entire project is for Bahamians by Bahamians. So everything is for Bahamians. And so right down to what the paint on the wall is going to look like, how we decorate, all of those things. I want to let the cat out the bag a little bit. We've been telling people about our fire engine fritters that we are going to have. And so, yes, Bahamians can experience all of those things. So, Aaron, I got to get you a pass.
Listen.
When we open in December, I got to get you a pass, man.
Don't tell security to look in my bag, right?
But
when I come, I bring in the vegan fire engine that we make with coconut husk.
Okay.
Right?
Okay.
But the key is that you use the coconut husk, you press the coconut oil, not before you press the coconut oil.
So it's really dried out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And when you fry that down with that tomato paste, it gives you the real, real feel.
I got you.
Fire engine fritters. Well, my dough on this National Day of Wellness.
So
this
we are
exciting.
going to be announcing soon who our artists are. So we had an RFP process earlier in the year, and so we would have received loads. And I love the enthusiasm of Bahamians, right, to be a part of a product that is uniquely designed specifically for them. A lot of times, you know, some people feel like investments come into the country and they're not a part of it. And I credit our president, Philip Simon, so much, because at every level, he's an advocate for Bahamians and makes sure that Bahamians are included in every single step of the way.
Now, I saw you had a little emphasis on like sort of younger artists. And I just want to say to the older artists, who I know, because I noticed some older artists out there, it's like, what you mean only young people? I ready to jam. Y'all go find Bahamian Trey. Bahamian Trey could connect you. He can find that you're an older traditional artist. Mm-hmm. He can pair you with the right young artist.
Okay.
He can find that new sound for your older artist to pair with. So don't be jealous, older people like me, because I jealous bad about these opportunities. Now, I've had some requests in the text line. Let's go through the contact information again, both the web address, the email contacts, and then social media presence where we can find you.
Okay, so the email address again is PD for private destinations, PDRecruitment@RCCL.com. And that stands for Royal Caribbean Cruise Line as well.
Okay.
So I'll repeat it again. It's PDRecruitment@RCCL. We also have a website. The official website is Royal Beach Club. Spell out the whole word, Royal Beach Club, paradiseisland.com/careers.
Okay, so that's royalbeachclub@paradiseisland.com/careers.
And then we also have the office, not to forget. You can always stop by as well, downtown at the Point, ground floor. We have a recruitment office.
Okay, and social media presence, definitely LinkedIn.
Yes.
Right, and then the website.
Yes.
The
yes.
Primary places to go.
We also have a WhatsApp channel.
Yes.
We also have a WhatsApp channel, and that WhatsApp channel, you know what, I think I need to post that probably on my page, because I've been having people ask, and we've had an ad for it on Facebook for a really long time. But when people go to our actual site, sometimes they're not able to find it.
Okay.
And so, Erin, when I come back to you, I'm going to have a specific link so that people can click on it as they listen. But we do have a WhatsApp channel. I've been sending it out here and there, and I'll also put it on my professional Facebook page. And so I'll say at 10:41, see Jillian Gray, and they'll be able to find that. But I'll have a link to that so people can, because, you know, people, they love things by WhatsApp, right?
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
And
yeah.
So I've been trying to reach people
It's the main mode. So they're always there. I get it.
And so when I came into this role, I said, okay, how do Bahamians consume information? So for the young professionals who may not be on LinkedIn, I know a lot of them are, but those who are not on LinkedIn and will not see the job postings, where are they? And so we've had these job postings advertised, not just on LinkedIn, but also on Facebook. And we've also had our WhatsApp channel advertised on Facebook as well, so that people can click in, they can follow, and they'll get all of the updates as they become available. And so I will post that link as well. But I want to go through all of the positions that we are hiring for.
Absolutely.
So we are hiring for assistant harbor master, assistant island experience manager, assistant island operations manager, assistant lifeguard operations manager, assistant technical manager, carpenter, electrician, environmental manager, executive office administrator, facilities maintenance, finance and accounting manager, finance specialist, food and safety manager, guest services attendant, guest services lead, heavy equipment operator, HR administrator, HR business partner, HR manager, ICE production attendant, inventory control specialist.
Hold on, ICE production attendant?
Let me tell you
something. Hold on, no. There's two dream jobs I wanted. First of all, is community announcements on Zen. If I was a little child, right? But ICE man dream?
We take everything very, very seriously here at Royal Caribbean.
That's one of the most important jobs on that island. You got to have ICE all the time.
But people think that it's just you go in and you make ICE. There's also a little bit of technical thing.
Because the ICE has to be safe.
When you think about it, it's actually a large, heavy machinery that you're going to be dealing with.
Okay.
And so there are safety protocols as well. So it's not just like, okay, when you're in a hotel, you go and you get
buckets of ICE. Yeah,
no. It's not like that.
It's making sure the machine is running properly and
so
also...
machinery, yes, making sure that the island is supplied, all of those things. So a lot goes into it. It's not just going to a small machine like what you would see in a hotel. No, not at all. So,
no, my miss, look here. If I can't sit in the ICE thing, then they're too small for me.
So let me tell you a little bit more about what we have would want any of these. So we have Island Experience Manager, Island Operations Lead, Island Operations Manager. We have IT Specialist, Lifeguard Lead. We have Lounge Technician. We have Plumber, Pool Technician. We have Refrigeration Technician. Restroom attendant, we have safety, we have senior lifeguard positions, technical managers, towel hut attendants, training manager, upholsterer, we have vehicle and generator mechanic, warehouse manager, water sanitation manager, and our pro mechanic. So I listed all of those, because when people hear 150 positions or 200 positions or we're hiring, they don't really see where they can fit in. So if you are in a different space, whether that be a technical space, a mechanic space, those types of things, you don't typically think about those roles when you think about a tourist experience. Mm-hmm. But all of those things fit into the larger experience that we have. So it's not just the front desk guest services or being a bartender. It is also all of those technical roles, mechanical roles, all of those things. So if you heard any one of those things and you're like, oh, okay, well, I currently work in an auto mechanic shop. I do have certification with cars and machinery and these types of things. And I think that this would be interesting for me. Then definitely go to the website, which is royalbeachclub@paradiseisland.com/career. So
I love it. I was just thinking about a conversation right now. Mummy, listen, I think I want to take advantage of one of these opportunities at the beach club. Boy, girl, I need you to think about a serious job, right? Mm-hmm. You're early in your life, you don't have time to play. And they can say, no, Mummy, listen, I have this opportunity to work like in tourism in a serious job.
Yeah.
I'm a technician. I can do HVAC and I can wear shorts and I can live outside and I'm going to be able to gain experience working on larger systems than I traditionally work on. And I'm going to be connected to an international company and may be able to explore opportunities outside the country on a cruise ship at another destination.
Yes.
So yeah, it looked like I just put on shorts and my hat and I just be would get them Reggie all day, come back with a tan. But it's actually a serious opportunity in a professional corporate space.
Absolutely. And one of the things that people don't realize is lifeguards are heavily sought after. Mm-hmm. And so think about all of the experiences, and I'm stepping outside of my realm right here. So think about all of the experiences in tourism that we have across experiences. And so we've had people who come over to us, and we've had people who leave and go to other experiences. But what I'm saying is when you come in and you start to get that experience, think about the long-term growth. Because if you want to stay within the company, you can be a lifeguard on a ship, travel the world, Mediterranean, go to Greece, go to Europe, go to Alaska. You can be in various different places around the world getting paid to travel, right? Mm-hmm. And so people may think, oh, you're just a lifeguard. But no, you can really grow even in that space, just using that as an example, grow in that space and carry the experience that you would have gained throughout the entire company. So I want young Bahamians to start to think about that.
So yeah, I want to piggyback off of what Jillian is saying and also talk a little bit more about the health field that we also source for. We look for site nurses, paramedics, doctors, and these are niche markets that we traditionally think are only sought after for medical facilities. No, we also look for these candidates for these roles because they are highly sought after and they are very, very much in demand.
Absolutely. I was just thinking, you know, to banker is carnival fever. That's when you have fever because you miss carnival so much. Because I could imagine, like, you have a Bahamas to banker, right? Like no, I the beach, I have to, right? Mm-hmm. Just that sort of how it impacts people and how just one experience in a place like the Bahamas could change your entire outlook on life. Mm-hmm. And just one experience working at the Royal Bahamas Beach Club could change your whole projection, your path, your journey, your destination in life. It's an awesome opportunity. And I'm jealous. It's a good jealous. Young people, this is our good jealous. This is the type of jealous we want. Older Bahamians, don't be the type of jealous that stops you from engaging, because that's going to make the opportunity even richer for everyone involved. We have the layers of experience and engagement and excitement and inquisitiveness. It's a beautiful space and a wonderful time to be alive, young people. Take advantage of all of these career opportunities available to you. Royal Beach Club at paradiseisland.com/career. PD recruitment at rccl.com.
Yes.
Find them on their website or on LinkedIn for more information and details. Like I say, y'all don't get mad at these young people, because the truth is, this is the dream that many tourism workers, employers had when they were young people. Mm-hmm. And I'm sure they're also excited to see it coming to life.
Aaron, thank you so much for having us.
Absolutely. You guys, stay tuned. I'm talking with Natino Thompson. We're getting into some culture. I met the mayor of Grand Bahama today. I am the PM of Chicchani's. It was a wonderful time. After the break, Natino Thompson is going to join me. We're talking culture. We're talking about the theme for today in Independence Week, which is National Day of Wellness. I didn't tell you all, I went to the Salvation Army yesterday. And I saw this is Stevie Gardner, track outfit at the Olympics. I sure. And I wearing it all day today, because I guess that's a good start. But like, just putting on some track clothes is a good start for the life of wellness. We're going to the break, y'all. Stay tuned. We'll be right back. Thank you, Ms. Wilson, Ms. Ferguson, Ms. Gray. Y'all have a wonderful day.
Thank you.
I hope you can find
Duke. Thank you so much.
Listen, I can find Duke Hannah's family for y'all, because we can remix one of his songs. He's a lovely day at Hope Bay. We can remix that, like a lovely day at Royal Beach Club.
Amen.
Bay.
Yes.
Something like that. Yeah, man.
Something like that.
Thank you for joining me.
All right.
Y'all stay tuned. On the clock. We'll be right back.
Family life is full of joy and challenges. With a Fidelity personal loan, you can handle life surprises while focusing on what matters most, expected expenses. Our loans are fast, reliable solutions to any problem life throws your way. Make that move today. Call 356-7764.
Fidelity, we're good for you.
Abaco, get ready for the summer's official rum and beer link off. Royalty Sounds presents Found Fast.
Found Fast.
Saturday, July 5th, Morris Harbor, Abaco. At the Royal Recreational Ground. Gates open 5 p.m., $20 entry. Ladies free before 8 p.m. With Nassau and Abaco's hottest DJ. Don't miss the Beer Drinkers versus Rum Drinkers competition.
Right, pulling for the best side, I said, collect.
Damn rum for me.
Found Fast, July 5th, Abaco. Sponsored by Collect, the Mayor of the Bahamas. Drink responsibly.
At Cleveland Clinic, care is everything. So when your primary purpose is to care for the world, you'd start with your community. Until you're accessible anywhere. You make complexities your specialties. And put compassion before anything else. all to redefine what's possible. For everyone, everywhere. For every care in the world. Cleveland Clinic.
Love the show? Want to give your support? Become a sponsor today. Call 302-2300 for our rates and packages. That's 302-2300. Become a sponsor on Guardian Radio 96.9 News, Smart Talk all day.
Sign up now for the Michael Scudery Peace on the Streets Basketball Classic. This is our 30th year, and we are doing it big. Sign up for 13 and under Tropical Gyro, 16 and under the Myers Group, Sun Oil, 20 and under in the Church Group, We Buy, You Sell, the Design Group in the Open Division, and for the first time, the Jamaica Bahamas Corporate Division. Competition begins July 14th to the 20th at the Hope Center. And then Kendall Isaacs. That's the Michael Scooter Reed Peace on the Streets Basketball Classic, where we shoot hoops instead of guns.
Go get your whistle, bells and horn. Heat up the drums, put the costumes on. This is the season for Donkanoo. Time to put on your rushing shoes. Out on Bay Street, downtown Nassau, in a masquerade of roots and culture. Boxing Day in New Year's morn. Sounds of boots get drunk, whistles, bells, and horns. Donkanoo, man, it sounds so sweet. Donkanoo, fresh into the beat. Donkanoo, feel it in my blood.
Good morning. Welcome back to On the Clock with Erin Green. We're going to the second portion of the show right now. I have Natino Thompson joining me in studio. Natino, I got to have you back before the end of the Independence Week, you know, of celebrations.
Okay.
So we could talk culture, but today, right place, mm-hmm. tonight. Tell the people what's happening tonight.
Okay, so tonight at the University of the Bahamas in the Franklin Wilson Building, me and Erin are going to be having a philosophical conversation, trying to dive into what it means to be Bahamian, right? Or Bahamian identity. So it's called A Haunted Conversation on Bahamian Society and Bahamian Identity. And I wanted to do this. Well, Erin had said to me, you wanted to collaborate and you wanted to do something else. Like,
yeah, I want to have a conversation, right? I think that we have a number of public intellectuals who write.
Mm-hmm.
Right there in the newspaper. If you have proximity to them, then you kind of know when they produce. If you don't, you just don't, right?
You're correct, yeah.
But I personally desire a greater level of public engagement by our public intellectuals.
Same.
So I say, Natino, let's have a conversation. Like, remember when the chief justices or the senior judicial members, they had a conversation, right? Like, we need more public intellectuals engaging each other in the public domain.
I totally agree. And that was a dream of mine, actually, because I also desire more engagement. I think accessibility is a big thing, right? Mm-hmm. And so when I think about the ways in which the work is oftentimes segregated from the people who it's meant for, right? That's one of the reasons why I wanted to do this with you as well.
And I think that's one of the greater indictments on the sort of political class, because
it's the way we segregate information, or we right. stop the common man from getting information. It's the way that the government works. And so the information is gatekept. But they gatekeep specific information only for those at the top. And so you see that filtered down even in the way that we do education. And so, yes, to your point, yeah, all of that. And so I was thrilled. I was like, okay, it's a way, because I want to engage. Number one, as a writer, as a researcher, my work is meant for Bahamians. If Bahamians don't read my work, then it just could sit there. And that means other people could be reading it. And I didn't make it for them. I made it specifically for this, Bahamian. And watch this. For the average Bahamian. And I don't believe in infantilizing Bahamians. Am I very direct and straightforward in what I say and think? And am I to the point? Yes. But I'm not going to infantilize Bahamians because I believe that we have a great degree of intellect. It's just that we don't have the opportunity to express that.
Right. I think being on this platform and then engaging Bahamians off air. Bahamians are listening to discourse. They're engaging in it. Mm-hmm. They have ideas. They have new language. And they have unique or specific ways of articulating, right, their ideas, their opinions, their issues. Uh-huh. And we just don't have enough forums. We don't have enough systems and ways for those opinions to be submitted in a way that they become more than just opinion. They become informed opinion, right?
Yes. So I think about, for example, we do philosophy all the time, right? Mm-hmm. However, it's an informal kind, right? For example, the old men that sit at McDonald's, right? I remember when I was in UB, you'd see, I think even one time, Rodney Monker and some of the older men, they sit there, they talk about what's going on in the news. We do philosophy in the nail salons. We do philosophy in the barbershops.
Yeah.
And
we used to do philosophy in the sub, right? At COB,
yeah,
where a Darren Cash, we're talking a little old school, mm-hmm. and he knew old, right? I just saying a little older school, because then I want to fast forward to a Don Sanders,
okay,
right, who also sort of emanate came out of the sub. It was a space where Scobus and
people
were actively engaging each other, and so right now though, I wonder. How does that space, how do these spaces function? Because to me, it feels that apparently only political parties can create spaces that can create politicians, right?
So that's one of the reasons why I'm doing this, right? Because one of the things I found out in my research is that the average Bahamian is cut off from knowledge production, mm-hmm. right? And knowledge production is serious, right? Because if only the people at the top are producing knowledge, then you have a skewed kind of understanding of what's actually happening in the country.
So let me put my bias on the table right now, right? I believe, and I say it often, that the political class has been able to successfully control the narrative, right? Because they determine who can produce knowledge.
Yep.
They determine whose knowledge is valuable. And mm-hmm. one of the ways that they do that is that they only allow what is politically, like what is convenient to their agenda in the moment to arise to the surface. So for instance, Tuesday, National Flag Day.
Mm-hmm.
We had a number of flag raising ceremonies. But what was missing was a thorough examination or exploration of the origin of the flag, how the flag colors were chosen, how the design was chosen, what was the process of determining that this is the official flag. We could have had a conversation about why you see aquamarine and blue, or right, a different flag colors, why you see gold and sometimes you see yellow. Like, those things didn't seem to be politically expedient, but that should have been the central thrust of a National Flag Day.
Yeah, I think that there are a number of things that I would love to talk about, right? I think that we have a plethora of things that we need to talk about, but knowledge production itself is only limited, like you said, to the political machine.
Mm-hmm.
And that means, for example, and I go back to one of the main, I think, historical moments that I go back to is when Hubert Ingraham came into power after the 20-something years that Lyndon Pinlan had been in power.
Listen, hold on. 5 terms... And I know that because my F&M neighbor lick off 5 shots, and she tells this a senior woman tell me the term they held.
So remember, he under the F&M or under Hubert the Ingraham administration, they opened up the airways.
Mm-hmm.
That right there should have been done well before, right? But that is how, that is one of the, I'm using that as one of the key points of how information is sequestered or access to producing knowledge. That means that the only people who would have made it onto ZNest would have had to been those been approved by the Pinling administration. Yeah. And in that way, you control, to your point, you control the narrative. And if you're controlling the narrative, if I say, sort of like what we was talking about, what was happening in PMH the last time I was here, if I say that dogs are running through PMH and the prime minister comes on and say there are no dogs running through PMH,
people can believe him. Because he has the critical mass. But
not only that, the credibility rests in his office as prime minister.
I get two more examples after this phone call. Good morning, caller.
Miss Green, you guess how you doing?
Good, good. How you do?
Hey, wait a minute. Quick question, right? Did you get your flag yet for Independence Day?
Bro, let me show you something. I just needed
No, no, no.
We on the radio, but I still have to show you something. I be on the radio, but I still have to show you something. I just pull it out of my bag.
You have your flag in our bag.
Morning, cousin. I got my flag.
All right. Good. Second thing, right?
Yes, sir.
I want people, please, in heaven's sake, on Independence Day, do not put orange juice when you're making your Kong salad. I saw that the other day on the show.
That, you know why they do that though, right? Because sometimes the bitter sour is so bitter, it needs a little. And the next thing is this. Wait, hold on.
Wait.
I tell you right now, thank you for raising that point. You know what the problem is? The problem is we have a national crisis and we didn't realize it. How y'all want Kong salad to be our national dish, but we don't have a sour orange? How you want Kong salad to be our national dish, but ain't nobody is focusing on preserving sour orange, right? Let's talk about culture and how you maintain it, how you retain it, or how you determine if it's real or not. Is it real? You say Kong salad is important, but you ain't got no sour orange tree no more.
I think even to our point about all of this, who controls what, right?
Like, who controls what is official Kong salad?
So that's the thing. So there are some Bahamians outside of the Bahamas who've decided to do some nefarious things with Kong salad, right?
Diabolical.
Hold up. Now,
it looked like it tastes good, though.
But I mean, some of them have done, they've done pineapple, they've done all kind of stuff with the Kong salad. I'd be honest with you, I'm not the biggest fan of Kong salad, so y'all could have it whichever way you like. I don't care. I really don't. Because I'm not that fully invested in it, so I'm not going to be policing people's expression of Bahamian culture by saying, okay, take the orange juice out. Now, I think that some things are diabolical if I do eat Kong salad, I have to be feeling it. I really like, the same way, like, when I eat anything conch, I have to be feeling it. Very rare that am I eating conch, like, because I say I want to do it. I may get one from my mommy or my daddy, but I ain't going out there.
They could have their own because you don't need it.
Yeah, I don't need it. Yeah.
Okay, so the two examples I thought of before the break, lionfish, right? Lionfish is an invasive fish, but it's not as dangerous. It's not poisonous. See, that's the problem, though. For almost a decade, I think led by the Fisheries Association and the Greek community, there was a strong lionfish awareness campaign.
Okay.
My company, we started selling lionfish, and we did tremendous work in the market for over 5 years, right? Shifting attitudes, bringing awareness to lionfish, in particular showing it as an excellent replacement for grouper when the grouper season is closed.
Okay.
One day, Alfred Gray, as the Minister of Agriculture and Marine Resources, came on the television, and he sat there and he tell everybody, that fish is dangerous, that poisonous, we shouldn't eat that. And decades of work had just almost been wiped out because in one moment, one uninformed policymaker made a statement that was detrimental to the work that hundreds of people had been doing, like I say, for decades. Another instance is this. Mm-hmm. I had the opportunity to work for the Bahamas Environmental Research Center in Andrews. I was just driving the van, driving tourists back and forth, and I was fortunate enough to go on a trip with them. We went to this place called the Jolta Keys. Mm-hmm. The Jolta Keys did not exist when Christopher Columbus sailed through the Bahamas. They exist because of a rapid land formation. The sand in that area is ooidic sand, and once it breaches the saltwater line and fresh water hits it, it calcifies. Now, here's the point that I'm going to, right? While I was on that journey, I was told a story that somebody brought a number of policymakers up there to see the Jolta Keys because they wanted them to see what's in their country. Okay. And that person remarked that one of the more, not just important, but relevant policymakers could not swim.
Okay.
right? And so their ability to experience this was different from the others because they could not swim.
Yeah.
But they were in a capacity where you would just assume that they could swim, right?
Okay.
We don't know anything about the Jolter Keys because that story is not expedient to the people who are in the place to tell it.
Yeah, yeah,
the
yeah.
man that can't swim ain't gonna tell you about his experience at the Jolter Keys because the shame and the need to not let you know of his incapacity prevents him from telling one of the most important stories in the Bahamas.
Yes. Yeah. Right? So, to your point, yes. I think it goes back to the, like the idea of the person who conquers, I can't remember the proverb right now. I'm thinking they said, unless the lion learns how to write, the one who conquers the lion will be able to tell the story in whatever way. Yeah, the hunter.
Until the lion can hold a pen,
yeah.
The hunter can tell the story however they want.
And so that's what this conversation is about. This is about saying, I have the pen, and the pen is mightier than the sword, right? But I'm trying to give... it means that the common person has to be up to the task of learning, right? I'm not here to spoon-feed anybody, but at the same time, the tools that I'm giving or the tools that I'm trying to give access to, they are against an empire, and an imperial empire, right? And whether you want to be in this... And this is what I tell people all the time. Even if you don't want to talk politics, politics is always speaking about you.
Mm-hmm.
Politics is always in your bedroom.
And
politics is always in your bathroom.
And your silence is beneficial.
Yes.
Right? Like you think that it my words have no weight. Well, if you think your words have no weight, your silence has more value to those that want to oppress you than your words.
See, but it's that. So for me, this talk is about that very same thing, because I approach this, my entire kind of research has been through the lens of oppression, and I know we're wrapping up, right? Mm-hmm. And so there's this idea in the Bahamas that we're not being oppressed, but we are, right? That's not a metaphor. And also, I'm not trying to be a victim. We are victims. The majority of us, actually all of us are in particular ways. But the issue is, how do we use tools we have as victims being oppressed?
Our experiences.
Through education, to then move us beyond our victimhood. And that's the issue. Women are being oppressed in the country. Children are being oppressed. But the question is, how do we empower people so that they can move themselves beyond whatever level of oppression is here, even if it's not intentional?
Right. How do we create a landscape where people could make healthier choices about their lives,
yes,
and realize healthier results, right?
Yes.
In their lives.
It's about giving people, watch this, number
one. Give them tools.
Not just tools, but like, I don't believe, number one, if I have an idea of how my life should look, nobody is going to stop me from getting or attaining that life. And what I find is that people will say that they want this out of life, and then when life beats them down, they don't have the tools, they end up giving up on life. And I found that a lot of people in the Bahamas have given up.
Yeah.
Like there's apathy, and the apathy, why do you think we don't go to the polls and vote?
Well, listen, why do you think we run stop sign and red light? That's apathy.
Yes.
A dangerous apathy that would cause you to manifest your frustrations with the dynamics around you. But the way you manifest that frustration is by risking your own life and other, and that is a sign of serious crisis. But Nadia,
yeah,
we gotta go.
I will say to that point though, if you don't risk, if you don't take no risk, there's no reward.
That's how I break my toe now.
Yeah, so
Natino.
So I'll
that mango was high up in that tree.
So the event starts at 6 p.m. It's in the Franklin Wilson Building. It's called The Haunted Conversation on Bahamian Society and Identity. It's with me and Aaron Green, and the cost is $20. It's just the cost so that we can continue to have these kinds of events.
To pay for the function today,
yes,
and then to pay for future functions.
Future functions, because I want to continue to have this conversation. And we're having a question and answer period where you get to engage. I'm pushing out some interesting theories. You can challenge them if you want. If you think that I'm wrong, listen, I'm not like a politician. You could tell me, I think you're talking BS, and then explain to me how I'm talking BS.
Absolutely.
I want to be engaged in that. This is what intellectual work does. This is how we empower our people. And I wanted to do this because independence, this is the 52nd independence. So I did it the week before so that we could have this valuable conversation. and Bahamians could come and enjoy this and be a part of this. So if you want to pay for the ticket in advance, you can do that. You can go to my Facebook page, Natino Thompson, or you can go to my Instagram page, Thom underscore Natino. And if not, you could pay at the door. I mean, it is what it is. Absolutely. But yes, this is going to be a interesting conversation. Me and Aaron have been dialoguing about some things, and I just can't wait to talk to you.
Listen, why they can't find Jerry Roker in town? Who put the pepper in the Vaseline? Why, Sam? Jones, oh, Jones. These are the ghosts.
Yeah, these are the ghosts.
To acknowledge.
One of the main ghosts we're going to be talking about is Lyndon Pinning, because he's often lauded as the father of the nation. The question is he really, yeah, right? And that we're interrogating that, the PLP. People still resonate with that message. Have we lost our way? Do the young people even care about that any longer?
Absolutely.
Like, all of these things are the ghosts that we're going to be interrogating. So come out at 6 p.m. in the Franklin Wilson building and, come with your questions.
Absolutely.
You know.
Thank you. Listen, Guardian Radio AM with C.A. Murray is up next. Don't forget, the theme for today is National Day of Wellness. Don't go to the Salvation and get your Stevie Gardner tracksuit then. Don't worry about it. I can do it. Y'all have a great day. Stay tuned. Guardian Radio 96.9 FM.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Streaming on GuardianTalkRadio.com and the Guardian Radio app. Nassau, Bahamas.